Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 1180 of the Juice Box Podcast. Hey, everyone, I'm back. Today, I'll be speaking with Michael. He's 25 years old, has had type 1 diabetes since he was 7. Michael also has vitiligo, Hashimoto's, ADHD, anxiety, and depression. We're going to talk today about Michael's experiences in college, boarding school, how he's learned to be more present, and a lot more. While you're listening, please remember that nothing you hear on the Juice Box Podcast should be considered advice, medical or otherwise. Always consult a physician before making any changes to your healthcare plan. If you're looking for a way to protect your finances, your identity, if you need a VPN, you're looking for Aura. You know those little ads you've seen with Robert Downey Jr., you know, Iron Man, right? Aura.com/juicebox. Use my link. You can get a free 14-day trial of Aura. Don't forget to save 40% off of your entire order at CozyEarth.com. All you have to do is use the offer code JUICEBOX at checkout. That's JUICEBOX at checkout to save 40% at CozyEarth.com. If you're looking for community, find the Juice Box Podcast private Facebook group, Juice Box Podcast, Type 1 Diabetes. We're coming up on 52-1. I don't know. We got like over 50,000 members. It's crazy. This episode of the Juice Box Podcast is sponsored by the Dexcom G7, made for all types of diabetes. Dexcom G7 can be used to manage type 1, type 2, and gestational diabetes. You're going to see the speed, direction, and number of your blood sugar right on your receiver or smartphone device. Dexcom.com/juicebox. Have you been experiencing the fear of missing out on Omnipod? FOMO? If you have it, it's easy to get rid of. Omnipod.com/juicebox. That's right. This episode of the podcast is sponsored by the Omnipod 5. This episode of the Juice Box Podcast is sponsored by Eversense. The Eversense CGM is more convenient, requiring only one sensor every 6 months. It offers more flexibility with its easy-on, easy-off smart transmitter and allows you to take a break when needed. EversenseCGM.com/juicebox.
Hello, my name is Michael, and I'm 25 years old, and that's a good start, I guess.
It's a perfect start. Sometimes people get confused and think they have to tell me their whole life story in the first 30 seconds. Yeah. Michael, you're 25. You have type 1?
Yes, type 1.
How old were you when you were diagnosed?
I was 7, so it's been 18 years.
Okay. You're 25, you're diagnosed, and you were 7. Mm-hmm. And do you have anything else going on besides type 1?
I think before the diabetes, I was diagnosed with vitiligo. Mm-hmm. When I was, I think, around the age of 4 or 5.
Okay.
And then the diabetes at 7. And then I've had Hashimoto's for I don't know how long. I don't really remember when I started taking the medication for it. Mm-hmm. But I just got confirmation a few months ago that I indeed had Hashimoto's. I only thought I had just hypothyroidism.
Right. But they said it's autoimmune.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did they find the lumps on it? Is that what they did?
No, we did the antibody blood work.
Okay. Okay. What prompted you to do the blood work? Because it didn't change the management at all, right?
No, nothing really changed. I think I just wanted to know for sure, because I don't think I ever got an answer from previous doctors. And because I hadn't really, my medication, like the amount of levothyroxine I've been taking has stayed the same since I've been taking it. So mm-hmm. I was like, maybe I should see if, you know, maybe I need to go up, and maybe it's, you know, if it is autoimmune, that means that's slowly, you know, getting worse and worse. So, right.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see if that was the case.
Where does your TSH stay?
Last I checked, which was a couple months ago, it was like the high 2s. So not terrible.
But you could stand a little more, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes good doctors, like even if they can't go up a full pill, some doctors will just tell you like, listen, this is not me telling somebody what to do.
No, yeah.
But it could be as easy as an extra pill once a month. You'd be surprised how they can manipulate it, like the ones that really understand the dosing of it.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing. Last time I went to the endo, he was just like, I'd already had enough of like my 50 milligram pills. So he's just like, I don't want to have you throw those away. So just every other day, take two. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I've been doing. If I remember to take it in the morning.
Got to remember, Michael. Don't make me parent you too. I got enough going on here. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. So vitiligo, type 1, Hashimoto's.
I mean, that's pretty much it. And autoimmune.
Not bad.
I've got. Yeah. No, I mean, considering.
Yeah.
Not bad at all.
Yeah.
And I don't really have any like adverse effects from the vitiligo. It's just, it's not really in any super visible parts. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I really have to worry about sunburn or it's not really. And it's like, I'm obviously very white. So like, it doesn't really.
Yeah. I'm looking at you today. You're already a fairly pale person. So
yeah. And I think it is going around my eyes a little bit, but you can't really tell because I wear glasses most of the time.
Yeah. Honestly, see the dark circles under my eyes? I maybe it'd be great if I could. Could I just get a little right? I guess you don't get to pick where it goes, right?
No. And it'll just kind of spread where it wants to go.
Yeah, that's a shame. I could use I don't want to wear makeup, but there are times I see myself in photos and I'm like, am I a person who has to wear makeup? My eyes are so dark. Oh my gosh. Well, let's talk a little bit about it then. So what do you remember about your diagnosis or do you not?
I remember it was in August of, I guess, 2005. I remember that summer I was going to the bathroom a ton. I mean, like the typical, like using the bathroom a lot, drinking tons of water. And I was wetting the bed, you know, at 7 years old, which isn't, you know, typical. And like, I specifically remember we went to Walmart one time. And before we left, I was like, I got to use the bathroom. And then within like the 10-minute car ride to go back home, I was about to pee my pants again. Mm-hmm. I had to like, you know, the car was basically still moving, hopped out of the car, went in the house and used the restroom. And so that went on for, I don't know, maybe like a month or two before my parents were like, there's something up. And my cousin was diagnosed with type 1 like 4 or 5 months before I was.
Really? Okay.
And he was like 2 years old, I think. So pretty young. And so they had some idea that like, maybe this is what's going on. And so they went in for the blood test and my blood sugar was, I think it was like in the 700s.
Oh God. Yeah. That's pretty, you said a month at least that the urinating was going on, right?
I mean, from what I can remember, my memory isn't great. Sure. So I think it went on for definitely a couple weeks.
Okay. Yeah. And so your parents kind of recognized it because of your cousin, do you think? Or, I mean, they just recognized in general something was up.
I think at first it was just something's up just in general. I haven't really asked a lot of specifics about like that time. Mm-hmm. That's just what I remember.
Okay. And there's some stuff here in your note to me that I think of as autoimmune related. Mm-hmm. So kind of tell me about the rest, because you said very specifically, you're like, well, that's the end of that segment of my concerns, but you have others, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You want to share them?
Yeah, I've got.
Or do you want me to?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, if you want to, I don't really remember what I wrote down.
Okay.
Which, well, that was like almost a year ago.
I have here ADHD.
Oh, yeah.
Is that diagnosed?
Yes. Yes, it is. And it's a recent, like within the last like 2 years or so.
Is it a thing you think you've always dealt with?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just something that, I mean, it's, you know, maybe presented itself in a different way when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. You know, I found ways to deal with it. And I mean, I'm not saying that my parents like didn't recognize it, but maybe they just didn't know that, you know, like, cause I wasn't the kid that was bouncing off the walls and like, you know, I was a very quiet kid. And so I think that they were just like, well, that's just not it. You know,
when you look back, how does it feel like it impacted you?
I think, I mean, paying attention in school. I mean, I was not a good student pretty much all throughout until I went to college, until I got to like take classes that I like actually wanted to take. Mm-hmm. Just like couldn't pay attention. I mean, my handwriting's terrible. So I couldn't, I mean, taking notes on top of terrible handwriting was just like, I couldn't read anything.
Because you don't pay attention while you're writing to what you're
probably
writing.
Oh. Or I'm writing so fast because I'm trying to keep up that I'm like, oh, this is, and it's sideways and it's, oh, you know, it's all blending together.
I lose interest while I'm writing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll start writing a list. And I'm like, I can just do this. Mm. I'll just remember. And then I don't remember.
When I'm handwriting, by the way, like I just had to write something pretty voluminous for the internet, and I can sit down and like pay 100% attention to it for as long as it takes. Like, I don't have ADHD. Like I can just sit down and do my thing, but I'm not interested in things I'm not interested in. That's for certain.
Yeah.
And I swear to you, while I'm writing, while I'm making the letters with my hand, I'm like, ugh. And then I'll just squiggly line it because I'm just already annoyed that I've spent this much time with it.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes those things can be a mixture. You know what I mean? Like, yes, yes, maybe you have ADHD and you do, but like, is that part of it? Or is that just who you are? Like, do you know what I mean? Like it's, it must be hard to try to pick through all of it and try to figure out, is my point.
Yeah, no, I'm constantly thinking back on all these like little things that I'm like, oh, that's just something that I did, which is like, it is, you know, it's not like if I didn't have ADHD, I wouldn't have all these other things that I'm, you know, that make me who I am. But just like all the little things, the more I think about it, I'm like, this is all starting to, you know, the pieces are coming together and it makes sense.
Right. This episode of the Juice Box Podcast is sponsored by the only CGM you can take off to get into the shower, the Eversense CGM. EversenseCGM.com/juicebox. Well, I mean, sure, you could take the other ones off, but then you'd waste a sensor and have to start over again. But not with Eversense. Eversense is a 6-month wear implantable CGM. So if you want to take a shower without anything hanging on you, pop off the transmitter, jump in the shower. When you get back out, put it back on, and you're right back to where you started. Come to think of it, you could do that whenever you wanted to. Maybe it was your prom night or your wedding day. Maybe you just don't want the thing on for a little while, but you don't want to go all through the hassle of taking it off and having to restart it and, you know, starting back over with like wonky numbers and having to, you know, all that that goes with it when you take off a CGM and put it back on. Oh, but you don't have to do that with the Eversense CGM. Because Eversense is the only long-term CGM with 6 months of real-time glucose readings. This gives you more confidence, more convenience, and flexibility. The Eversense CGM is there for you when you want discretion, a break, or maybe just a little adult time. EversenseCGM.com/juicebox. Pop that transmitter off, pop it back on, you're right back where you started, without any wasted devices or time.
How does the ADHD stop you from doing the things, or does it stop you from doing the things you want to do?
I mean, I forget a lot of things. I mean, a big one is I still forget to like pre-bolus, you know, and it's been, you know, 18 years. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no matter how much I think about it, I'll just forget. And it's just like, it's that stuff where it's just like, this is my, you know, this is for the sake of my health and, you know, safety as a person, and I will not remember, or like taking my medications in the morning, or remembering, you know, not being able to leave for work on time, even though it's like the same time every day. I know what to expect. I don't like plan ahead sometimes.
Yeah. Okay. Next here on your list is depression. So is that clinical depression? Is it diagnosed? Is it something you manage with medication, or how does that impact you?
It was diagnosed, and it's, I was on a few other medications. I think, well, I'm still taking one. I can't remember what it's called. Bupropion.
That's a new one for me.
That's the generic. I think it's like Wellbutrin.
Wellbutrin. Okay.
So I've been taking that for, maybe like 2 years or so. And I think that also helps with anxiety, and it's supposed to have some minor assistance with ADHD, which I'm not sure if it really does. It's hard for me to notice some of those things.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, I take that, and that it helps, I think. And I mean, there's a lot of other things that help that aren't, you know, medication. Mm-hmm. But it does help. It's not really as bad as like the ADHD or anxiety.
Where did you first see that in your life?
I think probably starting in high school and college. I think just being more on my own, because I went to a boarding school for high school. So I was, I mean, not on my own, but I mean, I was living, you know, in a dorm with another kid that I didn't know at 13. And it was, you know, trying to deal with school, you know, being a bad student on top of, you know, being at a pretty strict boarding school. was difficult at first.
How did you end up at a boarding school if you weren't, like, I think of boarding school as like a place where you send like motivated academic kids to flourish, or maybe there are also places where you send kids who don't pay attention to try to get them to pay attention. Is that the other side of it?
That's not what it was for me. At least that's how I remember it when I went there. Mm-hmm. The public school that I would have gone to where I used to live wouldn't have been great.
I see.
And so my brother went to the same high school. And so I think, you know, I had the illusion of choice to go there. Mm-hmm. And so I had it in my mind that I did want to go there because, like, oh, this is cool. You know, it's like college, but earlier. And so it's like a college prep.
Yeah.
High school. So it wasn't anything specific. It wasn't like a military academy, like some of the other boarding schools in the area. Mm-hmm. And it was co-ed. So it wasn't like, you know, boys only or anything.
So when you get there, the experience is not good for you?
I mean, it was very exciting, but it was stressful because there was like freshmen, you know, you have to get up every morning to go to, you have to like sign in to breakfast and like, you know, because they want to make sure that you're getting up and getting to class on time and, you know, living with somebody else who isn't really your friend, you know, and just being kind of monitored almost, you know, 24/7 kind of. Overall, I really enjoyed the experience.
Okay.
Because I'm not a rule breaker mm-hmm. by any means. So it wasn't hard for me to follow the rules.
Yeah. I think I'd be terrible at that. I immediately be like, what do I got to sign? I don't have to sign it for breakfast. That sounds ridiculous. I'm not doing that. You'd get me on the very first day. But did you find, like, so you think that's where the depression started to grow, though?
Maybe. I think just like kind of, you know, being left alone, and it's not like I'm not a really social person either.
Oh, okay. So then there's a lot of time in the day where it's very solitary for you.
Actually, not really, no? Which is kind of what helped, because since it was a very small boarding school, about 200 students. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of did everything with all the other students. Everybody knew each other, which was nice.
Okay.
And it was an international school, so there were kids from all over the world, which was, I really enjoyed that. I think just in addition to the ADHD, I mean, obviously they go hand in hand. And so like being just like stressed out about schoolwork and like, you know, why am I even, you know, why do I have to learn this? Why, you know, why is this so hard for me to learn this?
Right.
You know, why can't I get this right kind of feeling. Was there a lot.
Then how does the depression manifest itself with you?
I think it's just like, I mean, it's not really anything super specific. It's just kind of like an overarching kind of like, I don't feel great. You know, it's not like necessarily sadness, but it's just kind of like a, I don't know, like, what am I doing? Why isn't this working?
So did you have that overall gloom feeling that some people describe? The Dexcom G7 is sponsoring this episode of the Juice Box Podcast, and it features a lightning-fast 30-minute warm-up time. That's right, from the time you put on the Dexcom G7 till the time you're getting readings, 30 minutes. That's pretty great. It also has a 12-hour grace period, so you can swap your sensor when it's convenient for you. All that on top of it being small, accurate, incredibly wearable, and light. These things, in my opinion, make the Dexcom G7 a no-brainer. The Dexcom G7 comes with way more than just this. Up to 10 people can follow you. You can use it with type 1, type 2, or gestational diabetes. It's covered by all sorts of insurances. And, this might be the best part. It might be the best part. Alerts and alarms that are customizable so that you can be alerted at the levels that make sense to you. Dexcom.com/juicebox. Links in the show notes. Links at juiceboxpodcast.com to Dexcom. And all the sponsors. When you use my links, you're supporting the production of the podcast and helping to keep it free and plentiful. You know, if you dream about walking past the doorknob without getting your insulin pump tubing caught, or fantasize about jumping into a swimming pool without having to disconnect from your pump first, you may have FOMO, fear of missing out on Omnipod. I know you wish you could wear any outfit you want with that tube pump that you have, but it doesn't fit everywhere. Not like an Omnipod would. The good news is
You don't have to suffer from FOMO any longer. All you have to do is go to my link, omnipod.com/juicebox. I see a lot of people in my private Facebook group talking about their love of Omnipod 5. You may have seen those conversations as well. If you've had, you've found yourself thinking, I'm missing out. You don't have to miss out any longer. Omnipod.com/juicebox. Head over there now, read all about the Omnipod 5, and get started today. Just everything feels like a rainy day all the time kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, I think, until after, like, being in school helps because I was so busy. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really have a lot of like time where I could just do something like, and do nothing. Like yeah. There wasn't that much opportunity to do nothing. Same thing with college, like just so much work. Right. And so it was more like after college that things were like, you know, okay, I got to find a job. I got to, you know, we got to do all this other, you know, responsibilities of, you know, living on our own. And, I was able, or I am able to kind of shake it off a little bit easier, now. I don't know if that's because of the medication or it's because I have, you know, more hobbies now or something, but. Mm-hmm.
So when you were busy as a younger person, it wasn't too bad. It was there. You get out of school and the new pressure, I mean, of finding a job and feeling like you have to take care of yourself for the rest of your life, all that stuff, that's there. You're managing your diabetes by yourself. Mm-hmm. When you're 13, yeah, you're boarding school, that's tough.
Yeah, that was tough because I was never really great managing it to begin with. I was kind of pretty much I was taking it on pretty much right away from when I was like 8 or 9.
Okay.
I kind of did everything mostly on my own. I couldn't do the pump injections by myself. That hurt too much. I was too scared to do that. But like, you know, giving myself insulin at school and stuff, I did that all by myself. I didn't go to the nurse or anything. And so that and not being great at it and then being at school by myself with no one else who has type 1, not really anyone to talk about it.
Yeah.
Or to like explain like why this is hard. So that was a big part of it too.
Come from a big family?
I've got one brother. He's 10 years older. And I've got 9 cousins. Mm-hmm. Pretty much all my family that's in the U.S. is on my mom's side, and it's decently sized. It's probably about like 20 people, but that's pretty much it. And then I've got some distant, and like my grandparents live over in Sweden.
But oh, that's your background. Mm-hmm. A lot of autoimmune there.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about that? Okay. So your brother's 10 years older than you. Because I was trying to imagine. I'm not judging anybody, but I was trying to imagine like if I'm your parents, like how do I make the leap into sending my 13-year-old type 1 off to school by themselves? But they have a different sensibility than I do. They're from a place where that's pretty common.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my dad is from Sweden. My mom's from, just from the Midwest. Okay. And he's lived in the US since he was like 19 or 18. Mm-hmm. I don't think that was really the case. No. I think it was just, they thought I was taking good care of it, by myself, you know, but I would, you know, they didn't know the whole story. Yeah. You know, they weren't necessarily checking all my records. I mean, they would go with me to the doctor and see, you know, oh yeah, your numbers aren't great, but my A1Cs were never terrible. So I was kind of, you know, barely, you know, coasting through.
Right. But you say I'm trying and they believe you, and then it kind of just gets pushed on to the next appointment.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like, you know, I would, you know, they would see that I would, you know, or like a few instances they would pick me up from school, and then I would realize getting into the car that 4 hours ago I didn't dose for lunch. Mm-hmm. You know, and then I would dose and they'd hear the pump clicking and they'd be like, oh, did you forget? I'm like, no, this is for something else. And you know, that would, and then, so then, you know, they would get upset or, you know, or angry with me. And so then I would feel bad because I forgot. Mm-hmm.
And then it compounds. When you talk about that, even now at your age now, you forget to pre-bolus. Does that mean like you're literally in the kitchen cooking and it just never occurs to you? And then you sit down and you think, oh my God. Or is it that you're like,
you're not thinking about it, food at all, then you just decide to eat and jump right into food. Like, does that question make sense?
It's both of those.
Okay.
So like if I'm cooking, it's like the food's right in front of me and I know when it's going to be done. I know when I'm going to start eating. I'll get through the meal completely. And I'm like, I didn't do anything. I don't even know what my number is.
Not even before the, okay. Like you just don't have diabetes when it comes to food, when you forget.
There are a lot of moments like that where I'm like, I totally just am not aware of it for, you know, maybe it's a half an hour at a time. And it's like, I know it's like in the back of my head, it's there. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, I have a Dexcom, I have the glucose lights in our house so I can see everything. It's right in front of me, but it just totally blows right past.
Doesn't prompt you at all. And it's not apathy, right? Like it's a thing that when you're talking about it, you're disappointed that it's not happening. It's not like you're like, I don't care. It just isn't happening.
Yeah. Like, I mean, sure. There are some points where I'm like, I can't deal with this right now. And it's like, but that only happens if it's like, you know, 3 a.m, my blood sugar is a little high. I'm like, I don't even know where my pump is. Like it's downstairs or something. I don't, that'll happen every once in a while. But it's never like, I don't care. I don't care if my blood sugar's high. I don't care if I'm low. It's like, I know that if it's high for long enough, I'm going to feel like, you know, crap for sometimes until the next day. Mm-hmm.
When Arden was home from college recently, it just something, I forget what it was, honestly, but I had the feeling like we should test her blood sugar in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. And I went into her room and I was like, I'm not going to wake her up. I'll just do it. And I couldn't find her bag. It was just nowhere. And the next thing I know, I'm like, I'm in the kitchen in my underwear looking around and I'm like, it's here under something. And all I could think is, how could she go to bed without this? But then I listened to your perspective and I was like, well, it's easy, right? Because, I mean, you don't want to deal with it all the time. You don't want to always be thinking about it, you know? So, I mean, I got it in the moment, but what you just said made me think of that situation again. Just the, like, how, like, I was like, I don't understand how you could come upstairs without this and lay down. Like, what if you need it? And she just doesn't see it the same way, you know? And it's interesting. I mean, not to say that 9 times out of 10, the bag's not right there, because it is. But the one time it wasn't, I was like, oh my God. Like, I was incredulous. I was like, how could this possibly? But you hear that and you're like, yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yeah. I mean, I do that with all kinds of things. I mean, it's not just, you know, to be, you know, like I'll like, you know, won't drink water all day. And I'm like, my water bottle is full, nice ice cold water right next to me. And it's just like, it does not come across my mind.
But you think that's ADHD?
I mean, I think that has something to do with it because I think the type that I have is inattentive ADHD. You know, they don't call it ADD anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's like inattentive ADHD. And so it's just like, you're not always able to like focus on what's directly in front of you, what you're exactly focused on right in the moment. It's hard for me to focus on things that aren't right in front of me, like you know, the next meal, the next, like if I have to get to work, but like thinking a few hours ahead of time is like, it can be difficult.
I'm not discounting your experience, but I feel like I feel like you're describing everyone on the planet. So
yeah,
you know, I mean,
no, I'm not saying I'm not the only one for sure.
If everybody right now who didn't drink as much as they meant to today could raise their hand wherever they're at in their car. I think everyone listening is now not holding onto the steering wheel anymore. So, I mean, it's, I don't know. Do you beat yourself up about it?
With the diabetes stuff, I do, because it's like, sure, I don't have any, you know, complications or anything really. I haven't really noticed anything major, but it's like, I know that it's going to catch up if I keep doing this. And it's like, I'll do everything right for like 2 days. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if I forget one time, then it's like the cycle's broken and it's, you know, it's really hard for me to get back into it. Just any sort of routine is difficult.
What's your A1C right now?
Last, it was a couple months ago, 6.1.
No, it's amazing. And what about your variability? Like, what's your standard deviation? Do you know?
Probably a lot. I bounce around a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. It's,
So and that's the part you're more worried about, is that if you could just remember to pre-bolus, you wouldn't jump up and you wouldn't be bouncing around and doing all that stuff.
Yeah. It's a bouncing around that I don't like having to chase that all the time. I mean, it's not constant. Like when I'm at work, it's not really bouncing around that much unless my, you know, the pod's on the last day and it's not working very well.
Okay. Well, no, I take all your points. It's, and And I mean, it's, although look, even a bouncing 6-1, we don't want you bouncing, but man, that's you deserve a lot of credit. That's fantastic.
Yeah. And well, and that's mostly before that, it was like 7.8, like a couple months before that.
Oh, I think. Terrific.
And that was because I got on the Omnipod 5.
Omnipod 5 took you from a 7.8 to a 6.1?
Pretty much. I didn't really change that much.
Wow.
I think the overnights, which is like what everybody says, the overnights really help. Because like if I mess up a bolus and I'm, you know, in the high 200s, almost 300s, it'll bring me back down to 120 by the time I wake up. If I don't catch it.
That's wonderful. Good for you. I'm just noticing because we're on camera today, I've lost weight, but I haven't thrown out all of my shirts that don't fit me anymore. And I'm I can't stop looking at like how big this t-shirt. I'm like, all I thought when I looked up at it is as soon as we're done doing this, I'm throwing this shirt away.
Yeah.
Here's the last part of your note. And I'm endlessly fascinated with this. So I'm going to dig into it with you.
All right.
What is a potential autism diagnosis mean?
I mean, I know that like this is a, I don't know, weird to say a trendy thing right now, but like,
you're not wrong, by the way. The amount of people I hear that like kind of like blithely say, oh, I'm a little autistic. And I think they mean it. Like, I think they're being sincere. It's gone up significantly. Like the amount of times you hear people say it. I don't know if I want to say like a social contagion or not, but you do wonder because people, and I don't think this is, I'm not saying this to you and I want to hear your story, but I do think sometimes people just want a thing.
Yeah. They want a label to it. They want a reason to be like, this is why I'm acting like this. And like, kind of like a thing to put it on.
Yeah. I think that I do. I also, by the way, this isn't you, but this is a side note, but I've also seen people who feel left out. So they start trying to attribute some of their personalities to something and they go, look, I have this. I'm like, oh God, is it important for you to have something? But that's not this. So tell me what brings you to that thought first. Does somebody come to you and say it, or is it a feeling you have on your own?
I mean, it's a little bit of both. It's something that I feel on my own. I've been with my current girlfriend for almost 6 years now. And there are a lot of things that she has noticed about me that she has also noticed about herself that we have kind of been like, this isn't, neither of us have a ton of friends. Mm-hmm. And like, there's you know, obviously it is a spectrum of sorts and it's hard to get, you know, a diagnosis. And there are just a lot of things that on top of the ADHD, all this, the social anxieties and things that could be attributed to that. And it's like, part of it is like, I want something to be like, this isn't just who I am. There is something, you know,
that, you know, reason why this is happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's what I've always wanted to know.
Well, what is it that's happening? Like, what do you mean for like social anxiety? What's that first of all for you?
Like, I mean, it's just like, I can't talk to people if there's no reason for me to, like, I have absolutely no desire to like talk to people sometimes.
And it was like, hard for you to like, say, like, you know, it feels like a thing you don't want to admit.
Yeah. Because it's like, it feels like I feel bad thinking this, like, or if like, if I'm at like, even if it's like someone in my family or someone at work, I'm like, I make myself ask them how their weekend was, you know, kind of thing where it's just like, but it's like deep down, I really don't care, but it's like I do. I was like, I want to care, but I don't.
Right.
Like, I would be totally fine not talking to anybody all day except for my girlfriend.
Michael, I got to tell you again, I don't know that you're much different than anybody else. So, yeah. Like, but it strikes you hard. I'm looking at you. It seems upsetting to you that you don't care about their weekend. I don't. Can I be clear? I don't care about anybody's weekend either.
Yeah.
Like, so none of us do. And it's not that we don't care. Yeah. It's that we don't have time to care. And I mean, if we were all living in a yurt together, then that's the right poll, right? Isn't a yurt a giant tent that hippies live in? Yes. If we were all living in a yurt together, then I might say to you, hey, what's going on, Michael? And I'd really care because I wouldn't have anything else filling up my brain. But you're 25, you're with somebody, you live in a place that, from what I can tell, looks clean. So you've got like stuff to do, there's responsibilities, you're working a job, there's probably things you enjoy doing with your free time. And you're out of time to worry about how gym and accounting's like weekend went, but you're such a decent person. You're upset for not caring about his weekend. Am I right about that? Like, am I characterizing that pretty close to correctly?
Yeah. That's definitely the, like, I am in no way saying that I am like the only one.
Mm-hmm. No.
You know, that like this is,
but,
yeah.
But let me stop you, Michael, even there.
Yeah.
You're concerned that we're discounting how other people feel while we're having this conversation. You don't need to concern yourself with how they feel. Like, we're just talking about you and me. You know what I mean? And they're listening in. But we're not saying, see, this is a, you're young, so you don't know this, okay? But this is a fairly new phenomenon in the last, like, 10 years where we all have to pressure ourselves to be worried about how you feel about what I'm saying. Like, that didn't used to be a thing. If you were 40 years old and we were having this conversation right now, you'd be like, I don't know, man. I don't care how people's weekends go. And that would be the end of it. And you go, but I heard about this and I'm wondering if maybe I got a touch of this. And that's how our conversation would go. It would never occur to you or to me to worry that someone hearing it could be offended or upset by it. That is a fairly new phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
It burdens you. Like, I mean, it's burdened you a couple of times in the last half an hour already. Like, you're worried about other people. You know what I mean? Which is nice, but not to the level where it impacts you. I care about other people. I hope they have a good weekend. I don't want anything bad to happen to them. If it does, it's not my fault. And if I can't help or can't do anything about it, I can't shoulder that burden with me. So are you an incredibly like empathic person?
Yeah, I think so. But there's certain things where I care so much more about other people versus, you know, myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard. Like, I don't care what other people think, or I don't care how other people are feeling. I just want to do what's good for me right now.
I understand.
But it's like, really, I can't.
It hurts.
It's like almost impossible for me to do that.
Because it feels like you're doing something to them. Like, it feels like an affront to other people that you're not spending your time worried about them. Is that right?
Yeah. Or just like making sure that they're like, it's, I mean, this is mostly a thing with my girlfriend and I, like, I will take on as much as I can so that she doesn't have as much to worry about.
Yeah.
You know, because like, I'd rather me do it because I can deal with it maybe a little bit more than she can. So that it's not as hard for her, like, for, as an example.
Does she have other struggles, like, or some that are similar to yours?
Yeah. I mean, she is, she's got chronic migraines. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, she's on medication for it now, which helps a lot, but she's got a lot of chronic pain and, headaches, migraines, and, pretty severe depression and anxiety, like myself. So there are a lot of things that can overwhelm her more than they will overwhelm me. And so I'll try to, like, I just try to do as much as I can.
Does that create an echo chamber? Like, does it bounce around like sonar? Does her anxiety bounce into you that causes your anxiety, that bounces back to her, that makes her feel depressed because you're not happy, that makes you feel depressed because she's depressed? Like, does it just keep feeding itself like that?
It can. Mm-hmm. I will try my best to, like, reassure her that, like, you know, that, you know, or that I am okay. And, you know, if that's me, you know, lying to her that I'm, you know, maybe I'm not, maybe I'm more anxious than I put on, or I'm more, you know, worried about something. Because usually the things I'm anxious or worried about are, it's never a big deal normally. And so, but like the things that she's worried about are usually, it just totally makes sense for her to be worried about these things and to want to, you know, figure these things out and get, you know, whatever these things fixed. And
are they the kinds of things that, in truth, if you push them, like, if you could convince her that they were okay and she didn't think about them anymore, are they the kinds of things that really wouldn't cause a problem?
I think that they still would, because some of these things are like
the real, you know, impactors then. Not stuff that falls under, like, I have a motto. One of the things that I kind of like, I model some of the things I do after. And one of them is, often the best thing to do is nothing.
Yeah.
So, and it works. Like, you know, when you're moderating a Facebook page or dealing with business stuff, or a lot of times the best thing to do is nothing. It goes away and it's never a problem. But you're talking about real things that would actually be like negatively impactful if they weren't managed. But yet they're day-to-day things that a lot of people just handle without incidents, but it's tougher for you guys. Is that right?
Yeah. Like, you know, maybe it's deciding what we want to eat for dinner. You know, it's just like, it's hard for us to think about like a week at a time versus a day at a time. Mm-hmm. You know, so like stuff like that, it can, like, I used to get really upset when I couldn't decide what to make for dinner, which is like, it sounds, you know, I know how that sounds. Like, it sounds ridiculous. And it sounds, or like, you know, if things don't work out as well as I wanted to, and it's like not that big of a deal, I'll just get like unreasonably upset if it's something like in my personal life or if it's at work.
So let's say that that is autism for a second. Let's just suppose it is, right? You need somebody to teach you how to deal with that stuff, right? Yeah. And so you need services, I imagine, that would identify this and then help.
Yeah.
And, but it's you and her by yourself. Are your parents involved in your life anymore?
They are. I don't talk to them that much because pretty much ever since going to boarding school, we kind of went by the no news is good news motto. Okay. So I would only call them if I needed something or if they just, you know, or, you know, at most every, you know, twice a month we would call and talk. But it's just like,
So if I asked like, your mom right now how you were, she'd be like, oh my God, he's great. He's got a job. He's got a girlfriend. They got a nice place. Like, that's how she would respond, right?
Yeah.
Does she know all this stuff about you?
I mean, she knows. I mean, they've known about the anxiety for, that was like my first, like, you know, it's, I guess, mental health diagnosis when I was a kid, because it used to be really bad. Like, I used to go to a diabetes camp in the summer, and it was like a 4-hour drive, and the morning of and the entire car ride, I was incredibly sick and nauseous, and I would throw up. And like every time we would travel, I would get, you know, just, I would get sick. I couldn't eat the day before. I couldn't sleep, you know, and that's not as much of a problem anymore, but it still was throughout high school and college. Like the first day of class was like, you know, it was terrible.
Either of your parents like this? Like, do they have personalities that are similar?
Yeah, my mom and I have some things that are in common, and my dad and I too. My dad's also very quiet. Mm-hmm. My brother and I are pretty much like the same person, so that's kind of nice to kind of have someone to talk to about some of this stuff.
Yeah, you can talk to your brother about it.
Yeah,
that's great. Even he's 10 years older than you, huh?
Yeah, so he's 35.
That's good for you because he's been through a lot that he can kind of relate back to you, I would imagine, how he's worked on. Yeah. Is he married?
Yes.
Yeah. This is unfair, but is he married to a person who's similar to him? It's unfair because he's not on here, but I don't, and I won't ask more than that because you've found a person who understands your stuff because they have the same stuff. Did he have to do the same thing?
I'm not sure if that's necessary. I mean, they are pretty similar.
Okay.
But they're not, I don't think that they are like the same person by any means.
Okay.
But I think that she is very understanding, just like, I think, yeah, just very understanding of like all the things that, you know, that he has going on.
Okay.
Which is really all that you can ask for.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sorry. So back to my initial thought was you don't have somebody that you, well, you do have somebody, it's your brother, just not your parents, that you could go to and say, hey, these are the issues I'm having. I think I need help. I don't really know where to go for that help. Like, have you tried saying that to him?
Yeah. Yeah, I have, because he's gone through a little bit more than I have. He was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, like, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 years ago, maybe more. I don't know the exact date. And so he's had, you know, his fair share of therapy and, you know, going into a hospital for that and, you know, staying there for, you know, a week or so and like dealing with that on top of, you know, trying to explain that to our parents. Mm-hmm.
That must have been fun.
Yeah. I mean, I know that it did not go that well because they don't, you know, people of, you know, my parents' generation, I mean, obviously this is well known that like they don't fully understand the severity of some
mental health issues.
Yeah.
And they also, I mean, I think it can be common for people to not want their children to have problems to begin with. you know?
Yeah.
So saying I've learned this, oh, no, you just don't like car rides, like that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Like, cause that's probably how they remember, because in honesty, when you're vomiting on the way to like diabetes camp, they're not thinking, oh, that's a really anxious kid I got there. They don't see it that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it makes sense. Wow, man. That's a lot. You overwhelmed me for a second. So don't feel bad. I know you're going to feel bad. No. Don't feel bad. I'm all right. Don't worry. The internet already attacked me today. You can't hurt me. I'm good.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Every once in a while, the internet likes to come for me. Today seemed to be the day. Wow. What made you want to come on the podcast?
Because I, sorry.
No, Michael, I didn't know you were going to get emotional. Go ahead. Take your time. It's fine. It's fine. Do you want me to cry? Would it help if we were both crying? Because I'll do it. I could cry in three. No. If I look you in the face for three more seconds, I'm going to cry, just so you know. So, like, it's okay. Take your time.
Yeah, it's just that this, you know, listening to this podcast has helped a lot. Because I've been listening for, I don't know, a couple of years at this point. And just like, you know, I want to be able to do the same thing for, you know, someone else, you know, even if it's just that one other person, you know, that maybe has something similar. And like, you know, because like I've had some friends that are diabetic, but. And like, obviously going to camp was like probably one of the best things like I could have done. I went consistently for like 15 years in a row. Mm-hmm. And so I think just, you know, having someone like you, who's, you know, taking this thing and just making it that much more manageable. And like, you know, even if it's just, you know, having people who don't have diabetes understand and, you know, just all the different perspectives. It's just, I just wanted to be a part of it, because I mean, I'm not very active in like on the Facebook group or anything. I think the only time I posted on there was because I ran out of pods and didn't, insurance didn't send me more. I was trying to see if I could get some, but it's
not an uncommon moment. Yeah, so let me make sure I understand. I think I do. Mm-hmm. And you made me cry. So I'm good now. No, we're both going to cry. You found this connection that's, it's giving to you, and you recognize that the reason there's value in it for you is because other people come on and tell their stories, and you want to add to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you.
And like, cause like, I know that, you know, I may not be the only one who has this exact, you know, experience, but everyone's got something a little bit different, you know, and everyone's got a different combo of, you know, autoimmune diseases and, you know, mental health issues and, you know, different stages of their life.
Right. Well, I think you'd be surprised by how many people have your combo, actually.
Yeah.
You know,
no, yeah.
And I wouldn't know without making the podcast for certain, but it's incredibly common. The anxiety, depression part, along with the autoimmune stuff. It's just like, even when you said your brother had a bipolar diagnosis, it was hard for me not to say, yeah, doesn't surprise me. So many people have said it, like somebody in their family has a bipolar diagnosis. Like, at this point, I mean, I don't know, I guess I'd have to go interview 1,000 people who don't have any autoimmune in their life, but it seems connected to me, you know?
No. Yeah. There's no way that it isn't, because I mean, my mom's got, she's got hypothyroidism, and my brother's got hyperthyroidism, recently diagnosed. You know, my grandma on my dad's side too has thyroid issues. So like, it's, you know, it's, and like all this stuff on, you know, cause like, I think I've heard you say that, you know, ADHD can be, you know, inflammatory kind of in the same way. And I mean, it's definitely related, and then they kind of bounce back on each other. Cause like, your blood sugar's out of whack.
And it pushes the inflammation around more, and you're not who you are on top of everything.
Yeah.
I completely buy into it. I'm not a scientist. I don't know how cells work and how inflammation works. And also, I think we're in the infancy, even in the science world, of how people understand inflammation. If I would have said 20 years ago, if I would have turned to somebody in my life and said, you know, I think it's possible that the biome in your gut is impacting how you feel and how you think. Mm-hmm. I don't know that people wouldn't have locked you up for saying something that sounded crazy. I'm still old enough that when I say it out loud, I get weird douche chills. I'm like, oh my God, do I sound ridiculous right now? But I think it's obvious. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying it would fix anything, but like, I'm drawn to ask you if you're taking a good probiotic. And that makes me sound like a lunatic in my own voice, like in my own head. You know what I mean?
No, but yeah. I mean, after listening to, I mean, I've listened to all those episodes where you talk about the different supplements and Arden supplements. And yeah. I was already taking magnesium, but I started taking it. I think I was taking a little bit more because, you know, you kind of have to take too much to know how much to take.
Yes.
And so that's been helping a lot, and taking the same digestive enzyme, which I think the past like month I have not taken it. I've totally forgotten that I even had it. But that did help.
That helps,
I think, with the, like, even just like making sure I don't, like, you know, go sky high after a meal. If I didn't, you know, if I was a few minutes off on the pre-bolus or something, mm-hmm. you know, it helps.
So now you're going to make me really upset. Like, I'm actually going to cry now, because, to know that sharing that with someone helped you or anybody mm-hmm. is, you know, I want to turn this conversation to me, but, and I also know that people are laughing now and they're like, of course you just got, but I don't.
So I mean,
but you know, it's conversation. You know, yeah.
It's a team effort.
But the thing that happened today online caused me to have to explain what it's like to be in my position, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a thing that I can tell you with great certainty that most people won't be able to understand. Like, it's like, yeah. I know we all think of ourselves as, like, you know, internet, like everybody feels like they're a personality now on internet because everybody has, you know, an account here and there. And you might even have 1,000 or a couple thousand followers. And it feels mm-hmm. like, wow, I say something and thousands of people see it. But they don't really. Like, people follow you. They're not on Instagram constantly. They're not on wherever you're at constantly. But I have a significant following. And you would think that it would impact me to say that, like, yeah, it's obvious. I talked about this and it was going to reach you and you were going to try it and it was going to help you. But I don't have that feeling about myself. So I don't honestly think that way. Like, I know that there are probably some cynical people who won't believe this, but I'm just recording my thoughts and then I put mm-hmm. them out and they do what they do. And I don't really think about them anymore after that. I'm not here maniacally trying to be like, oh, I'll say this and this, you know, and it'll make people think, like, I don't think like that. So that when someone comes back and says that the podcast has been helpful for them in some way, there is a small part of me that's shocked by it every time, you know, mm-hmm. like I'm just like, oh, wow, that's crazy. Really good for you. Like, that's how it feels to me when you say that, oh, I heard something that helped me. And so it's just it's impactful to hear that something about your life got better because something happened to my daughter and we talked about it on here and it made its way to you. And anyway, I think when I say that, it must seem disingenuous to some people. Like, you know how many people you're reaching, because I do. I know how often the podcast is being downloaded and how frequently and what the numbers are and how it ranks and all that stuff. But but it's not a thing that it's not a top of my mind when we have conversations like this, I guess.
Right.
So
yeah, I mean that's a totally, like, you know, you can't expect yourself to be constantly thinking about, you know, how you're coming across to people during a conversation, because then it's like you'll never be really in the conversation.
Yeah,
you're not really focused.
Right. You'd always just end up. I'd be the equivalent of a local news anchor then. Do you know what I mean? I'd have a big dumb look on my face, and I'd only say things that I know everybody could agree with. Like, we love it when it's sunny, right, Bill? Yeah. Like, great. Thanks. That's going to help no one, but okay. Anyway, like, you shocked me. Like, when you started talking about, like, oh, the magnesium, I'm like, oh my God, he does that? Where would he hear about that? Yeah. Like, you know, so it's an oddity for me. I get better at it all the time, like absorbing it and taking it. But there's also part of me that thinks that I shouldn't go too much farther the other way because, I mean, what's over there? Except me just, like, pompously believing that everybody hears what I say. And, like, I don't think that would be healthy to feel like that. So, you know, I mean, I don't feel like that, but I wouldn't want to either. Anyway. Wow. Well, you definitely help people with your story. That's for sure. That's really great. Well, I mean, you're incredibly open, and it was, people can't see you, but it's been difficult. I mean, we've only been talking for an hour. It's been difficult for you at times, like genuinely difficult to say things that you've said. And that's very nice of you to do. Actually, I have a question going all the way back to like 20 minutes ago, or maybe 20 minutes in. You said, like, I don't care how their weekend is. Could that be the Wellbutrin keeping you from caring how their weekend is? Or did you not care before the Wellbutrin?
That's a good question. I don't know. Maybe. Mm-hmm. But I'm not taking, I mean, I think I'm taking like 300 milligrams. But that's a good question. It's hard for me to take notice of some of these things. Sure. I'm like, I don't remember.
That's why I brought
like,
it
I don't
up.
Know what it's, I don't know what it's like to, like, you know, like, it's hard for me to have breakfast sometimes in the morning before I go to work. But then the mornings I do have breakfast, I won't really notice if I feel better. You know, like stuff like that. It's like hard for me to like, I can't pay attention to myself enough.
It made me wonder, like, is the medication helping you with one thing, but hurting you in another way? And because like that description, like you won't know this until you hear it back. Maybe not even then, but that push and pull of like, I do care about their weekend, but I can't make myself care about their weekend. That's like a torturous statement. You know, and it's tough to know, like, but I also don't know what you're being helped, like what has been alleviated for you that is incredibly important to be alleviated. I don't know that either. So,
and I mean, even I don't even know what's been alleviated. Like, I'd have to stop taking it to be like, oh, this is what it was helping me with.
Just like the enzyme. Like,
I don't really know.
Yeah. You start taking it and it helps and everything gets better. They actually say that let's just say depression medicine, like the biggest problem that they have with it is for people to become non-compliant taking it, because they have a problem, and then for the ones that start taking it that are helped by it, their life normalizes, and then they start thinking, I don't need this medicine, I'm fine, when the medication might be the only reason they're fine. And you know, and so you get put into a slightly different reality than you would be in without it. You don't even know where the other reality is, let alone have ability to, I guess, adequately discuss it and evaluate it. Right. Yeah. It's a weird position to be in. Do you ever think of just stopping it, or do you remember what it was like before that? And that doesn't seem like a good idea.
I've thought about it because I'm like, I want to see, like, you know, maybe just from having maybe a slightly better routine of, you know, eating regularly, eating healthier, doing more exercise, like maybe if I just go down on it, you know, cut it in half, just see if it would make any differences. But I kind of don't want to mess with it quite yet, because, you know, what if it is, and it's like I've forgotten to take it one night and I feel terrible the next day, because it's just like, it's the withdrawal,
right
talking there. But like,
no, there's a way to titrate off of it if you're going to come off of it. That's actually takes some time to get through. Prior to did you ever have like thoughts about hurting yourself or anything like that?
Nothing serious. Is always fleeting, like kind of like, you know, but it's always in, you know, like, I have a lot of guilt about a lot of things that are like unreasonable guilt. So that kind of, can play a part.
Be overwhelming without it.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, did anything like tragic or traumatic happen to you when you were younger?
I don't think so. Okay. I mean, other than the diagnosis, which really, I mean, I remember like crying when they had to prick my finger for the first, because it hurt, you know, but like, and like having to deal with all the shots and all that stuff.
Yeah, I'm talking more like a neighbor's never taking you in the basement to show you his train set or something like that. Nothing like that.
Nothing like that. I mean, I got a pretty gnarly concussion a couple of years ago, but I mean, like, that's not, but nothing like, no physical or like mental abuse.
Physical abuse, nothing like that. And you had a bad concussion, but you've had these problems prior to that.
Yeah.
Okay. Not to say that it has to be one way or the other, but the stories that I hear from people over and over again, it's either wiring or something really bad happened. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and that's it. Do you see somebody? Do you talk to a therapist?
I do. I see someone almost every week.
Good. Does it help?
Yeah, I think it does help, even if it's just like, you know,
having vomiting someone to out talk your to feelings. Isn't, yeah. You know,
that isn't, you know, my girlfriend or isn't, you know, family or, you know, friends, and someone who can like really kind of understand what's going on.
But it helps in that it relieves the pressure, but it's not lessening the strain overall. It's just keeping it from exploding.
I think it's just, yeah, being able to get it out and to like talk about it in a way that, like, just how I am talking here, it's like, I don't really, you know, it's like, in a way I know you, but not really.
I understand. Yeah.
You know? And so it's like, it's really easy for me to talk to somebody I don't know, which is kind of weird. Cause it's like, if I like talking to people at work, it's like, I don't want to let them know who I really am all the way.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
Cause it's like, cause like, I see them every day.
Yeah. And you got to keep the job too. And you don't want them all to walk away and go, we should get rid of Michael.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's worrying me. And yeah, it's a weird place to try to make like a really sincere personal connection, because there's always the job is at the core of why you even know each other, you know? And I don't know what you do, but if you're in a competitive environment, there are certain terrible people that will use that against you to try to just jump up the ladder. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. And thankfully I work at a very, very relaxed, and somewhat, I don't want to say easy, but it's a pretty easy job, and I really like it.
Okay.
And it's hands-on. So I'm a hands-on person. So,
but they're not, it's not a place where people are clawing at each other to make $10 more or something like that. It's
no, yeah. There's only like 7 or 8 people that work there.
So. Oh, good. Okay. Well, that's good. It sounds like a good fit for you. Did you end up making it through college with a degree?
I got my BFA in furniture design from SCAD.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, where are you? I think I'm not supposed to say my daughter goes there. So,
I know.
Are you in Atlanta? Were you on the Atlanta campus or Savannah?
Savannah.
Oh, no kidding. Did you stay local or have you left?
We left to go to Milwaukee after we graduated. We graduated 2020, so the worst time to graduate. And then we moved back. We're back in the Southeast.
Okay.
After like almost 3 years in the Midwest. Just because we like the weather down here, and it's more familiar to us, and we're close enough to Savannah because we love living there. It was it was amazing to live there.
Arden can't wait to leave.
Really?
She's like, it's too hot and too everyone hot. Moves too slowly. That was the other thing. She's like,
the slowness can get to you. I mean, but after 4 years, I mean, you kind of learn to
settle
to work with it and to like enjoy it, to be like, you don't need to move fast. You're going to get way too sweaty to move fast.
I think those two things actually do impact each other.
Yeah.
It's a lovely area. I've visited obviously a number of times and I've always had a good time. I've never lived there for more than a week, but it's always been a really pleasurable experience actually.
Yeah.
So do you design furniture for a living?
Not for a living. I mean, obviously ideally that's what I wanted to do when I graduated. I wanted to do more, you know, hands-on furniture making and, you know, maybe some, I mean, obviously I love to design and make my own stuff, which I still do for making stuff for our house or making stuff for friends. I'll do, but, never really got a job to do that because it's a pretty small industry.
Yeah.
And like, I don't want to be sitting behind a computer doing CAD work, you know, all day. Cause it just sounds like the worst.
How do you apply what you learned then in the world?
Making stuff for myself. I love just making, like, I've always loved making things that somebody or myself could use in their everyday life. I think that's just something like really fulfilling for me. And so the job I have now is, it does that, and just in a different way.
Okay.
And so, I mean, I use my, like, whatever I learned for like design wise almost every day, but furniture wise, I'm always thinking about stuff I want to make, but I haven't had a job in like the furniture or like woodworking industry like properly. I was a finished carpenter for a few months and I did a furniture maker apprenticeship with a guy in Milwaukee for a few months.
Did you enjoy it?
I really liked the apprenticeship. The finished carpentry was difficult. I mean, it was during the winter in Wisconsin, so it was really cold. I mean, started at like 7 a.m. and I had to drive 30 minutes to get there.
It's freezing outside.
Doesn't seem that bad, but
it does when it's -1 degree.
yeah. And the roads are frozen and the house that we're working in isn't finished. So it's not heated. And my girlfriend's from Texas. And so anything below 50 is, you know, the coldest ever. And so like living there for, you know, almost 3 years was bad.
Oh,
so
that's why we moved. Yeah, she must have hated that. And you go where your girlfriend wants to go, so you're stuck.
Yeah,
you
had and it's because she had a job. She had a job right out of college. So we figure, why not? You know, and it's, you know, there are, you know, it wasn't the worst. I mean, we did really love living there for half the year.
Did you guys meet at school?
Yeah, we met at SCAD sophomore year.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Oh, that's life. That's lovely. Actually, Arden's a sophomore right now.
Nice.
So yeah, she's working, it feels like 50 hours a day at the stuff that it's fascinating how much work there is.
Yeah, it's funny because, I mean, obviously every school is different, but people will come into an art school like that and be like, oh, it's going to be easy. Mm. But it's like when you have 2.5 hour studio classes, and like I had a couple of 5.5 hour classes, and like it's not, and it's like you're working constantly, and it's like, it's definitely not easy. And it's not, especially the first year and doing all the gen eds and the
life basic drawing, like, and those things,
life drawing one, 3D design, all that stuff is, it's not easy.
She's in life drawing right now. And last week, the instructor, the teacher, the whatever you would call them, I didn't go to college, so I don't know fancy words, I guess professor. They said, hey, this weekend you have to draw this and you should spend at least 6 hours in the lab doing it. Mm-hmm. And Arden was like, I have so much to do. Like, I don't know how to like accomplish that, but she did it. And then she went back to class and she said, everyone who didn't spend the time, you could tell in their work that they didn't put the time in. You know, she's like, so the time is, it's the effort, but the effort takes a lot of time. And if you don't spend it, then you don't get it back. She said that the teacher picked hers up, said it was really good, showed it to people, said, this is like what we were looking for, that kind of thing. But Arden's like that was great, but it took a whole day, to hey, get up, I got to eat, I got to take a shower, I got to go over there. Now I'm there for 6 hours. I get home, it's dark, she's like, it's a lot. And she goes, I don't think people, just like you said, I don't think people would believe how busy I am here.
Yeah. It's constant. And that's why half the buildings are open 24/7 so that you can stay drawing until 3 a.m.
Yeah. They don't lock the buildings. You can just, you can go in and work whenever you want to, because you have to. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think most people would hear that and go, oh, there's no science and there's no math and there's no this, and you're not really at college, but it's a slow to work for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did your girlfriend do while she was there? What was her degree with?
She got her degree in fibers. So like,
oh, I tried so hard to push Arden towards that.
Yeah, it is one of the coolest majors, I think, there. It is. I mean, she learns so much, and she is a hands-on person just like me. And so, like, learning how to weave, and, like, she knows how to spin her own yarn. And then the job that she got was, like, surface design. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, designing print and pattern for clothes and graphics and, you know, like the flowery prints on a dress, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it was a corporate job, so she hated it. She left.
I think that's what Arden said. She's like, I'm not going to want to do that. I'm like, just take a minor in it. And I was like, seriously, it looks so interesting. And she's like, I don't know. And I'm like, we were really like, my wife and I were like, this is good. I would look at this. And she's like, not what I want. We're like, all right, okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, you should, I mean, if she could take even just a class at Pepe, it's an awesome, the building's awesome. And the minor is, I had a friend in furniture who took the minor, and he said it was a lot of fun. Cause it's just like, and it would go hand in hand with fashion.
I know. That's what we really did push her towards that. She just took a business track as a minor instead, because I think she really feels like she's going to like run a small business at some point.
Yeah, I want to do her own thing. Yeah that's so, definitely, and you can't really go wrong with that.
Right. So we'll see. But anyway, Arden doesn't go there. She goes someplace in, where am I supposed to say? Chicago?
Chicago.
Yeah. And all of you are wrong, and please don't look for her in Savannah. I had a note the other day from a woman who said, I'm not a stalker. Any note you get online that begins, I'm not a stalker, you're like, red I'm going to die. Yeah. But anyway, but this one, she goes, I'm not a stalker, but she goes, I was in Forsyth Park the other day and I saw a girl with an Omnipod or with a Dexcom on her arm, and she had like your daughter's color hair, and I stopped myself from going up to her. And I responded back and I said, listen, you're lucky you didn't do that, because that wasn't her, because Arden doesn't wear a Dexcom on her arm.
Oh.
I said, so you would have bum rushed a person who did not know at all what the hell you were talking about. I was like, so anyway, so for all of you in Savannah, don't just assume you see her, because you might be seeing other people have diabetes too, you know?
I will do that. We went to this art show gallery thing a couple weeks ago, and there were two people there who were, I could see their pumps. Mm-hmm. So I forced myself to be like, are you diabetic? And like, ask them questions and be like, oh, like, I would love to get your number.
Right.
So that we can like have some sort of, you know, community, which I think is really important, you know, something like, you know, the podcast, or just like, you know, being able to have somebody to, you know, even if it's like, I had someone at SCAD who, we had the same, you know, Omnipod, Dexcom. So like I would often run out before my insurance would get me more. Mm-hmm. And so she would trade me one, and I'd give her one when I got mine in the mail next week.
Of course.
Like, stuff like that is just like, it's a, you know, it's a priceless resource.
Yeah. Like that, a diabetes, give a penny, take a penny.
Yeah.
Ooh. We're going to call your episode, Give a Penny, Take a Penny. What a great idea. All right. See, do you mind that?
That sounds good.
All right. Because, I mean, that's what you're doing, right? You're adding your story and taking other people's stories out. I'm putting that in there. Mm-hmm. That's perfect. Look at me being creative. All right. Anything? We miss anything, Michael? Anything we should have talked about that we didn't?
I don't think so, unless there's anything you wanted to ask me more. I mean,
you feel good about what you got out, though? I want to make sure about that.
Yeah, I think so. I'm trying to think if there's anything I also wanted to talk about, but... I mean, I think I'm just so hard on myself with like the daily stuff of like, I've had this for 18 years and I still haven't nailed this down. Like what's wrong with me? You know, that kind of feeling. I guess we kind of touched on that.
Yeah. But dude, you have a 6'1", and really the last thing for you to do is pre-bolus.
Yeah.
To stop your bouncing so you don't have to chase. So like, is there, like, I know you said earlier, like when you and your girlfriend are trying to even make like a schedule for what you're going to eat this week, that it's difficult for you to do. I wonder if instead of trying to say to yourself, let's sit down and make a menu for this week, could you not just say, let's sit down and write down all the food we like and just write it all down, and then just take what you've written down and slide it into segments and do your grocery shopping? You know what I mean? Like maybe it's the pressure of, what are we going to make for, like, do you know what I'm saying? Like what if you just made it more fun? I know it seems simplistic, but it's what popped into my head when you were saying it earlier. Just like, let's just write down everything we like to eat and then we'll make it. Or why don't we just decide that we're going to go grocery shopping twice a week and just choose the next 3 days. Like, we'll take our master list of food we love and we'll look at it and choose three things and go grocery shopping for them and then go again. Why not make your thing fit into life instead of trying to make life fit into your thing, I guess is my thought. Mm. And then, you know, from there, I don't know, man, the pre-bolus thing's tough for everybody, but do you eat at the same time every day or a similar time?
Similar. I try to eat lunch at the same time. Lunch I can usually remember because I'm looking forward to taking lunch when I'm at work. So I'm like, okay, that means I can eat lunch soon. You know, I'll eat, you know, so I'll plan it more ahead, and I don't eat a huge lunch. So it's like easy for me to pre-bolus.
Is this not as easy as setting an alarm in your phone that says bolus at certain times a day? And even if it's not exactly right, at least maybe it's in your head then?
I will do that for lunch. I'll like be like, I want to eat soon. I'm going to pre-bolus now. I'll set a timer for 10 minutes. So, because sometimes I'll pre-bolus and I will forget to eat.
Sure.
Yeah. And then I'm dropping, and then I'm like, I can't eat fast enough for it to catch, and then I have to eat more. Mm. And like, you know, drink a juice, and then I'm high. And then it's like that happens way too often for me. And I mean, even if it's, or if it's, you know, the other way around.
Yeah. But you struggle most with timing your meal insulin.
Mm.
That really is your biggest struggle. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
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 Also, in related, unrelated, if you could get your TSH down a little bit, maybe you'd use insulin a little better. Actually, if you drank water a little more, maybe you'd use your insulin a little better. Like, maybe these little like fixes along the way would all kind kind of commingle and make a big, you know, a big improvement for you. I don't know.
No, I mean, so far, even just in the past year that I've had the, because I've had the Omnipod 5 for almost a year now, mm-hmm. pretty much got it as soon as I could. I had issues with insurance, but I mean, what's new? But
yeah.
that it helped a lot. And I was so excited. I've been looking forward to this for years. Once there was like the little teaser for it.
For automation. Yeah. Remember when they used to call it, what were they going to call it at first?
Horizon?
They were going to call it Omnipod Horizon, and they changed the name to Omnipod 5. That's right. Even though there was not an Omnipod 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah.
I've never asked anybody about that. Maybe I will one day. It's like the Dexcom numbering. Like somehow started at 7, then went to 4. and then 7 plus, weird. Then 4, then 5. And then I was like, you guys are overthinking this. Start at 1.
Yeah.
The next one's 2. Keep going. But I think when even it shows you, even with a company, like they don't, when they're doing it, they don't know the future. Like they mm-hmm. probably didn't realize when they were making Dexcom that there end up being iteration after iteration after iteration of it. You know what I mean? So the first person calls it something, and then you wake up 3 years later and you're like, oh, our naming system doesn't work right. It's, you know, just what happens, honestly. I have that problem sometimes with my episodes. I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have called it that. Now I'm stuck, and now you got to work around it, and it's a pain in the butt. How'd you find the podcast?
My dad was out walking his dog, and one of their neighbors has type 1, and she had mentioned it to him. And that was like, that must have been sophomore or freshman year of college.
Okay.
And so that's how I heard about it. And then I didn't listen to it for a while until I remembered it. Cause I wasn't really listening to podcasts yet. Mm-hmm. Like I was just like, I'm not ready to I don't have time to listen to podcasts. Like, I can't really listen to them in class. And, you know, I was more, I couldn't do them yet, but now I'm like podcasts 90% of the time. And so so I found it through my dad.
Okay. And it helped you like management wise, the podcast has helped you make better decisions.
Yeah. I mean, my doctors haven't told me anything basically I didn't know about protein rise. And I didn't even know about pre-bolusing until a few years ago. I mean, I knew that that's kind of what you should be doing, but that's not we didn't do that at diabetes camp. You know, we didn't, the doctor didn't tell us about that. You know, I did the extent of my diabetes education was you can read a nutrition label. You're good.
Mm. Okay.
And that was I was 7 years old. And so then no more after that.
So Michael, it's fair to say that maybe you don't forget to bolus as much as you've been trained not to. Like maybe this is a habit you're trying to break. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I have I don't think I've had a good habit. Like I don't have a consistent habit of anything, I think, which is weird to think about, but I think about it a lot. I'm like, I haven't done anything good consistently for, more than 3 days in a row.
Dude, pick one thing. Just pick one thing. Do the drink water thing. You know what I mean? Like pick one thing and then prove to yourself that you can break a habit. And you know what I mean? And then just keep trying to apply it to other things. It's going to be a long process, but here's what I'm pretty certain of. If you were my kid and I am old enough to have, oh my God, that's weird. But I would say this, there's trying and there's accepting it. So if you just accept that, if you accept it and I'm never going to get this right, it's not going to make anything better because you're still going to torture yourself about it. Like you're going to feel disappointed. I hear it in your voice when you're talking about how you treat people or even how you feel. You're just going to burden yourself in a different way. Right. So so there's no choice in my opinion. You got to keep working at it. And then working at it can't just mean knowing that you're not doing a thing. It has to mean actual functional steps. So you have to create steps that are small enough that they're going to make an improvement, but tell yourself it's okay if it doesn't happen today or this week or this month. It has to be big improvement. And, and I can tell you, I gave myself over to that idea when I started Wegovy because the doctor will say to you, oh, wait till you see, once it's in your system, you're going to lose a pound a week. And I know when the doctor says that, they're like, that's amazing. A pound a week's amazing. But back then when someone says it to you, you're like, what? like a pound. Like I got more weight to lose than all that. Like how's mm-hmm. that going to help anything? But that's how it happens. You lose a pound a week. So yeah. you just accept that that's the situation and you call that, you don't just call it progress. You celebrate it. The mm-hmm. weekends and you're a pound lighter and you're like, I can't believe this. You don't look in the mirror and go, I have to lose 50 pounds. So this is not very exciting. You know what I mean? You say, this is amazing. I was supposed to lose a pound this week. I did. This is a major celebration. I think that's how mm-hmm. you treat, like when you pick your water glass up, you go, look at me, I'm doing it. And you act like you've done, I mean, fake it till you make it. And that's what they teach in AA. So seriously, I don't know if you like AA or not, it doesn't matter. That's a staple of that recovery idea. And this is really what you're trying to do is you're trying to recover mm-hmm. from a habit into another one. So just,
yeah,
you know, man, I say it a lot of different ways, but just set the bar so damn low that even if you trip, you'll end up on the other side of it.
Yeah, no, I try to do that. I try to set my expectations really low because it's like, it's like, you got to start somewhere, you know,
yeah.
it's like, yeah, I mean, you gotta, you know, if you can do one thing and then it's like, if you like, even if I don't expect to do it and then I do it, it's like, oh, great. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, those couple days a week where like my blood sugar doesn't go above 150, which is like very rare,
right.
But it's like, it feels amazing. It's such a great feeling.
I always think it's interesting when people say that they have to drink more water. It's a great example. And then they end up with a hydro flask in their hand that's holding like, it feels like it's a half a gallon of liquid. And they're like, you know, it's got mm-hmm. lines on it. Drink this by 8 o'clock, this by 9. I'm like, you were a person yesterday who drank 6 ounces of water all day. And now you want to drink, I don't know, however much is in that thing. That seems to be an unreasonable mm-hmm. leap to me. Like, why don't you just start yeah. with 12 ounces? And then tomorrow mm-hmm. try for more and because you'll build up a muscle to it. Like I take that AG1 in the morning. That was actually hard to learn how to do. And it wasn't it actually tastes fine. And like all that's fine. It's just, it's that it wasn't a thing I used to do. And then I wanted to make mm-hmm. it a thing I did. Taking vitamins is the same way. Like people are like, oh, I forget them all the time. Yeah, I get it. Like I that happened to me. I had vitamins I wanted to take. I would forget to take them all the time. So I went out like an old person and bought a mm-hmm. vitamin caddy and I load them up and it's right in the middle of the island, like right in the mm-hmm. middle of my kitchen. My wife does not like them there. So she moves it. Then I go take it and I move it back because not because I'm messing with her, Michael, although that is a lovely byproduct of it because I do mm-hmm. enjoy, screwing with her, but not because of that, but because I just said to her, I'm like, if it's not right here, I won't remember. And that yeah. needs to be important to you because it's important mm-hmm. to me and I need them to be right here. So there's this yeah. big, ugly plastic thing on my countertop and I cannot avoid it. I literally put it, I did the like physical equivalent of taping it to my forehead or yeah. writing pre-bolus on my palm or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, and then it became a habit and now I can't forget. Like it's impossible. Every day I'm like, oh, I take these vitamins. Every day I mm-hmm. eat something that I know my body will struggle with, I take those enzymes with it because I leave them out in front of me. Like I mm-hmm. I don't give myself the opportunity to forget it. So I don't know. You and I aren't the same person, but I hope something in there is valuable for you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I did the same thing with my pills. I got like a very nice looking wooden pill case mm-hmm. so that if it's on my nightstand, it looks good. And I'd be like, oh, it's right there. Let me just take it. I can preload it, you know, for the week. And it has a morning side and a night side. Mm-hmm. So I can keep it all right there.
I thought for that sure you were going to say that you made it. Like when you said,
no, I wish it looks, it does look really nice. I mean, I probably could, but it would be, this person did it so well. So right. It's like, I'd rather
Get it from
somebody else.
Michael, I really appreciate this. We're getting long now, so I'm going to say goodbye.
Okay. But yeah.
I want to hang on for a minute and talk to you when we hang up. And then, and I appreciate your time very much. Thank you.
Of course. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, it's a real pleasure. Hold on 1 second. A huge thanks to Dexcom for being longtime sponsors of the Juicebox podcast. Dexcom.com/juicebox. Head over there now. Get started today. If you'd like to wear the same insulin pump that Arden does, all you have to do is go to omnipod.com/juicebox. That's it. Head over now and get started today, and you'll be wearing the same tubeless insulin pump that Arden has been wearing since she was 4 years old.
I want to thank the Eversense CGM for sponsoring this episode of the Juicebox Podcast. Learn more about its implantable sensor, smart transmitter, and terrific mobile application at eversensecgm.com/juicebox. Get the only implantable sensor for long-term wear. Get Eversense. If you're living with type 1 diabetes, the After Dark collection from the Juicebox Podcast is the only place to hear the stories that no one else talks about. From drugs to depression, self-harm, trauma, addiction, and so much more. Go to juiceboxpodcast.com, up in the menu, and click on After Dark. There you'll see a full list of all of the After Dark episodes. I know that Facebook has a bad reputation, but please give the private Facebook group for the Juicebox Podcast a healthy once-over. Juicebox Podcast, Type 1 Diabetes. The group now has 47,000 members in it. It gets 150 new members a day. It is completely free, and at the very least, you can watch other people talk about diabetes. And everybody is welcome. Type 1, type 2, gestational, loved ones, everyone is welcome. Go up into the featured tab of the private Facebook group, and there you'll see lists upon lists of all of the management series that are available to you for free in the Juicebox Podcast. Becoming a member of that group, I really think it will help you. It will at least give you community. You'll be able to kind of lurk around, see what people are talking about, pick up some tips and tricks. Maybe you can ask a question or offer some help. Juicebox Podcast, Type 1 Diabetes on Facebook. Thank you so much for listening. I'll be back soon with another episode of the Juicebox Podcast. The episode you just heard was professionally edited by Wrong Way Recording. WrongWayRecording.com.